Today is February 15th, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $68,855.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy Valentine's Day, Rick. How was your Valentine's Day?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Would you spend some money on the wife?
A little bit. I mean, you got to spend some money, right?
You got to spend a little bit. You got to make him happy.
Yeah. I mean, you try and make him happy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you do. So obviously for those that may or may not be paying attention, this is the day after Valentine's Day. Today's the 15th, and Bitcoin is back in the spotlight, but it's not for price action. And it's mainly because of some stuff that Michael Saylor had said in the past that's coming back to kind of bite him in the rear end. And conspiracy theories, more stuff from Epstein is seeping into the crypto space. So,
the Epstein, you just can't escape it.
No, it's his. He had tendrils everywhere.
No, that's actually the shocking part. It's like the people that were connected to him. Was it Lutnick from the? It's in the current administration.
He's the Commerce Commissioner. Yeah,
Commerce Secretary, right?
Secretary, yeah.
So he's in the cabinet. And he at one time said that he met Epstein once, they were neighbors, and then he quickly got out of there and never saw him again. And
he was lying.
Found out that he was lying.
Lying through his teeth. Yeah, so from what I understand, like, not only did he live next door to Epstein, but Epstein sold him his place. Now, obviously, like, I didn't deep dive into this, so don't try and blame me. But he bought the place from Epstein for $10. Next door to, I'm assuming it was Epstein's New York mansion. But so, like, you got to understand, like, the street that Epstein lived on, and I know we shouldn't be talking about Epstein so much, but the street he lived on, Woody Allen lived across the street, right? You had Epstein, and then you had Lutnick next door. Like, so that Woody Allen married his daughter?
Stepdaughter.
Yeah, adopted daughter, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, whatever. How it works. I mean, it's not incest in that regard, but yeah.
Oh man, that is so borderline though.
That is pretty terrible. If you knew her when you were changing her diapers and then you marry her, that's
speaks to a whole level of stuff. But obviously there was something in the water on the street. Oh, and Bill Cosby lived on that street too.
Oh.
So you know, it was just apparently that's just a thing that happened in that neighborhood. Anyways, how are theoreticals looking?
Well, they may have eaten some Yoplait yogurt or whatever from Dr. Huxtable.
Dr. Pudding Pop. See.
Okay, first Pudding Pop. First theoretical purchased back in October 2023, $3,000 could have got you 0.0885 Bitcoin, and that now is worth $6,094. So you still doubled your money.
Yeah.
We've seen it go up as high as 11,000 at the peak.
Yeah.
Almost 12. Yeah, but you know, still doing well. Second theoretical purchase right at the halving, the previous halving, which was April 19th, 2024. And the price then was $65,000. $1,000 could have got you 0.01564 Bitcoin. And that is now worth just $1,077. So you're up a whole 7%, 7.7%.
Man, is that even up 7%? Or is that, because wouldn't 7% be
that's
like
7%? That's just 7% up.
Okay.
If you look at interest or anything like that, you divide that by a couple of years, 2.5 years, almost 2 years.
That one's hurt.
At like 3% growth, maybe.
That's, yeah, that one's hurting. That one's, I mean, it's slightly better than last time we recorded, but not by much.
Well, yeah, the last time, you know, the price or the total value was $1,017. So $1,077 is quite a bit better.
Yeah, for sure. We were looking at the ETF lows before we kind of got going. And although it's not black, like we're not looking at the blacks all the way around, we are seeing the red is slowing down. I will say that. But by no means are we, I don't think we're out of the woods yet.
No, not even close. I would say that the reds are more common than the blacks.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But, you know, when we last looked at it and we were looking at the hemorrhaging, it was dang near solid red with just a couple of smatterings of black days in there. So, the you know, the good days are, the positive days are much more numerous this time.
Yeah, there's basically, I mean, we're looking at the chart, we're seeing a lot more black. The one thing, like I said, the outflows from those red days, they're not as large. When we look at like January 30th, we had almost $500 million just from IBIT that got flowed out that day. But not that February 4th, it wasn't much better, it was still 373, February 5th, 175. But it's, you know, we got a little bit of a upswing after that, but not much. Like it didn't, it by no means did it cancel out what happened the past few days. So we're still seeing a lot of red on that chart, but I think the hemorrhaging, as you were saying, is definitely slowed. It's been such a topsy turvy, event. Like Bitcoin tried to get up to 70, and it got up to almost 71, and then it just wasn't able to do it much else. So, we're kind of in that weird range.
I was going to say, but right before that, it looked like it was trying to go below 60,000.
Yeah.
And it kept bouncing right around 61. And then it picked up a little momentum, got almost to 71. And now it's kind of a little bit lower. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting that we're range bound. I don't remember what the precipitous fall was like last time. But, you know, I'm pretty sure we would have been happy if the Bitcoin price struggled at half the value that, you know, it reached. So if it was in like the 35-30 range last time, but we saw it go way, way lower.
Yeah. We got down to 15, I think, last
time. Yeah. No, that took a full year for that to really
materialize.
Hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do think there was a video that came out recently from Mark Moss. And he was talking about, you know, what's going on with this cycle and how it's kind of what's different. Like, and everybody talks about how this is different just because Wall Street's involved. But I really don't know how to feel about it because that was such a huge drawdown. Like I said, we said in the last episode, that was the largest reduction in Bitcoin price in a single day in Bitcoin's history. Mark Moss tried to kind of explain that, you know, how it's basically the pipeline system from Wall Street. And you mentioned this too, like, but what it is, you know, the ETF itself is buying physical Bitcoin. Like that's legit. But when you start to look at the derivatives market and all the stuff that spins off from that, that's all paper Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Like it's not tracking spot to spot on the actual product.
Well, it just goes to show, you know, when we were gearing up for this previous bull cycle, you know, we'd seen the worst and we're talking about potential God candles and all this other stuff. And we saw some pretty, I mean, there was a day where it almost went up 9,000, but we finally saw a God candle, but just in the wrong direction.
It's called the devil's candle. I don't know. We can't.
The devil's candle.
We can't call that we can't give that to the almighty. So
God, no.
In the news this week, we don't have a whole lot, but we want to go over a few things with you. So there was a video of Michael Saylor that kind of started hitting basically Twitter or X. Man, one day I'll start calling it the right thing, where he was saying that Bitcoin would hit $10 million tomorrow if people really understood it. But you know, Michael Saylor, he's the perma bull. After the dip. And I think I think the following Monday, he recorded that, you know, he processed that he actually bought. but now they're sitting on billions in unrealized losses. He always talks about volatility being a gift to the faithful. So it's always kind of interesting to see Saylor's take on all those. From my understanding too, like from a treasury position within a company, you want to buy when the price is down like that, because it helps reduce your average cost overall. And I think right now their average cost is like at 73,000, 74,000, for all the amount that they purchased. And so buying low helps bring that average price down, which I guess looks better in the long run. But I mean, I can't imagine how much they're sitting on in unrealized losses right now. It's a big number. I know that for sure.
Yep. That's, that's kind of the game he's playing though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but, if that's, it's going to either pay off for him bigly eventually, or it's not.
Or it's going to wreck him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a nod. It's like game over. And could you imagine what would happen to Bitcoin's price if Strategy or MicroStrategy went under?
Oh, man. They have so much. I think they now have 3% of the Bitcoin supply. One company.
And a fire sale would be a spectacularly bad thing, I think, for Bitcoin.
I think on one hand, we're very lucky that he's got diamond hands. And, you know, right now, obviously, I mean, depending on what's going to happen, and we don't know the future, but, you know, it's good in that sense that it is Saylor, and he is so devout with it. One of the other big things that came out of X this week was I know we talked last time about Epstein and some of his connections within some of the cryptocurrency space. So there were somebody, and I don't know exactly who it was, but they were saying that Epstein was actually Satoshi. And it got completely debunked. Social media was claiming Epstein created Bitcoin. DOJ docs confirmed he invested in early crypto companies, but nothing ties him as being Satoshi. And then there was some viral proof, but those emails were proved to be doctored. So I think it's kind of interesting because there's always the mystery of who was Satoshi, and people will always try and attribute it to whatever.
Absolutely.
Whatever it could be.
I know. That's like the modern day Immaculate Conception, right? Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And who is not really the mother, but the father of Bitcoin? Nobody really knows.
Yeah. Nobody knows. And I hope it's one of those things where we never do find out. I don't want to know. I prefer it that way.
Yep. Same here.
So. And I don't think maybe eventually people will stop looking, but I don't know. We'll have to just kind of see how that plays out in the future as we go forward. A couple other big things, Clarity Act. We've talked about this before. It's still sitting in the White House. Like there's still supposed to be some things that are supposed to get done with it. Scott Bessent was really pushing this, and he was saying that Coinbase was really being kind of the obstacle to getting it passed because of the discussions about yield. But it's stuck in gridlock right now. Bessent is actually publicly urging Congress to move, warning legislative window is closing. And basically it goes back to the yield rules that we talked about, because right now yield on stable coins is much higher than what you get out of a typical savings account. And so the banks are saying that shouldn't be going to the people. Coinbase is saying that it should be going to the people. And obviously, as much as we want to see Coinbase and be like, yeah, Coinbase, but what that comes down to is, I mean, they're still a company. They want to be able to give some of that money to the people. And if they're giving some of that money to the people that way, that allows them to get a bigger share than what the banks are giving.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's the one thing, though. It does work for the people, and it's going to make Coinbase a whole lot wealthier as well. Because if they're sharing some with the plebs, you know, they're probably taking in really the lion's share. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit there and you're going to open up a savings account with a traditional bank, and they're offering you what, maybe 0.5%?
Yeah, annual interest rate.
Yeah. Meanwhile, even begin
to cost, you know, facing the cost of inflation, and then you pay taxes on that. It's total loser.
Yeah, and then it's and that's even if we were just at just a solid 2% inflation, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, at least with Coinbase, you know, they're offering anywhere, I think it's from like 3.5 to 5%, depending. So obviously, you're still a little bit above inflation, at least. Well, reported inflation, let's put it that way. So a White House negotiation session this week collapsed again without progress. One of the big things that's stopping this too, is that they're trying to get this across the goal line. And Trump has such a, he's built like this weird crypto empire. For those that haven't been paying attention. So Democrats are hesitant to want to pass anything that's going to benefit him. So, and I don't know how I feel about that. What's your thoughts? Like, should he be allowed to pass legislation or sign a bill that's going to help one of his companies directly?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I think that's how politics generally operates anyway.
He's just public about it?
Yeah, he's just done the moves up ahead of time. I mean, I do think he believes in it, but like, you just look at how much money Nancy Pelosi and, I mean, Nancy Pelosi is the easy person to pick on, but there's so many other people that made just truckloads of money while they were in Congress.
Yeah. And it's true on both sides of the aisle. And I mean, you think of Obama, like he's living in some sort of huge multi-million dollar mansion.
In Martha's Vineyard or something.
Yeah. Something like that. And it's like, dude, these people don't make that kind of money. So it's always those things where, yeah, Nancy Pelosi's like the come lately on something like that. But you think back to Trump's first debate with Hillary Clinton, she talked about how he doesn't pay taxes and dodged all this stuff. And Trump basically was like, yeah, because of the system you created, I'm not doing anything illegal. You guys are just written in all the loopholes.
And I take advantage of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, as much as the Democrats want to complain about it, it's like, you guys can fix this. You guys could bottle that stuff up. I mean, you're probably not going to get it done while he's president, but.
Well, they could try and do something after 2026 if things keep going how they're going.
Yeah.
Because I think they'll have control of the House and the Senate sometime this year or next year at least.
Yeah, they'll get one of them, if not both, I'm pretty sure. So we'll see. The Senate Banking Committee still hasn't rescheduled its markup. So basically, we're waiting to see. It's not dead, but the momentum's fading on the bill. Scott Bessent really wants to get it across the goal line. Trump wants to get it across the goal line. Makes me wonder about what their plan is, wanting to get that pushed across so hard. Part of it could be just because midterms are coming. And they know, like, if they can't get this done by then it's not going to happen.
Yep. I agree.
And then as for macroeconomic news, jobs report are delayed because of the 5-day shutdown, whatever we had for the government there for a while. But they're not expecting a huge increase. They're saying about 55,000 jobs possibly added, which isn't a negative. And I know there was some discussion about a 1 million job markdown that they were talking about for a seasonal adjustment, but that didn't happen either.
Okay. Because I remember the markdown. Yeah, we heard something. It was like 900,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you remember that one of the last ones with under Biden, right? Like where it was that million dollar. See, talk about money all the time, but the job markdown that took place, the correction they had to do. The CPI, we're getting that report this next Friday. I was expecting that, I think, this week, but I guess it's going to come out on Friday, probably again because of the shutdown. And we'll see how the Fed deals with that. And then Treasury yields are flat, and China is trying to add pressure. So basically, the 10-year Treasury yield is holding around 4.2%. And reports are coming out right now from China that they're urging their banks to reduce the U.S. Treasury exposure, which we're not shocked by. Although I've heard rumors that Russia is trying to strike a deal to go back onto the U.S. dollar again.
Go on to SWIFT?
Mm-hmm. Did you hear about that?
I haven't.
And it was just a momentary thing. And more than likely, man, it's Putin is such a troll whenever it comes to all that stuff. He's always like, yeah, no, I want peace.
Well, the thing is didn't we like basically steal a lot of his stuff when we sanctioned him?
Mm-hmm.
Like basically stole his assets. I just see that being a very long shot. I mean, other than just him messing with us, I don't think he really wants back on that.
I wouldn't think so either. The only thing I could think of is number one is if it came with some sort of a deal that he gets those funds back. And then from what I understand, using the system that they're using with China, because the system they are using currently is from China, it's very expensive. You know, speaking like when you comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I mean, it could just be him doing what he always does where he's like, oh yeah, no, I want a ceasefire. Meanwhile, he's launching missiles with the other hand while he's telling you that. So, I don't know, you know, Bitcoin's volatile. Washington's on gridlock. So maybe that's why Bitcoin's in a holding pattern the way that it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't know.
I don't know. We'll just see. We'll just see how it keeps going. In previous experience, it tell me that Bitcoin would have a pretty severe drawdown. You know, we should be seeing 50,000 in the not too distant future if that holds, but we haven't. It kind of finds some life. It looks like it wants to go down, but then it fights its way back, at least to 70. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was
a little bit of hope still out there.
And I wonder how much of that is like because of the Clarity Act, how much of it's different because of, you know, and that's the whole thing. We're not dealing with what we dealt with in the past. That's one thing. You've talked about that right when the ETFs were coming out. I want to say we were talking about that on the episode. You mentioned it specifically that we're swimming with sharks now. It's not the same game.
Yep.
This isn't the retail investor for the most part.
No.
So.
Nope. It really has changed the game. So we're all just trying to catch up now.
Yeah. I do feel like we're waiting to see what's going to happen. Like obviously 4-year cycle looks intact currently. But that massive sell-off that we did have, you know, I don't know what it would say. Like, if all of a sudden we went back up to 100,000 in no time, and that's one of the things, and I don't want to go too much into Mark Moss's stuff, but that's one of the things that he was talking about. He said, for the sudden drawdown that we did see, it can also reverse just as quickly. But that doesn't match with the 4-year cycle.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
I don't know. Anything else you wanted to bring up today?
That's it for me.
Just as an FYI, gold is at $5,042, silver is at $77, and oil is at $62.80. So that's where we're at right now of recording this. So I don't know why I wanted to plug that in there. I feel like we had talked about gold and silver previously, and I just want to touch on the price there.
Yep. Well, we've been talking about it, but we also talked about the disastrous fall off because, I mean, silver just looked insane.
Oh, it was nuts.
Yeah, it was the tulip craze type situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy run up before the collapse.
Yeah, and silver buyers, I think, from what I had heard, they'd stopped buying. Like, they were like, we're not going to buy your silver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just got kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, $77 for silver is still pretty good. So.
No, I mean, still pretty good. I remember when it was 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I remember when it was $124.
My memory doesn't go very far back, though.
Thank you all for listening, and we will be back with y'all next week.
Bye.